before Thomas, before Robin starts to turn, let me say, express appreciation to these two men for the job that they're doing and for any arguments that come to resolve that. And we really appreciate the spirit of arguing with you. You're not getting mad at each other. This Bible study, I really get mad at each other. I really appreciate that. I'll do my best to reply to everything that they said, but as they know, there's a lack of time. James began his last speech by saying in Acts 20, verse 7, it doesn't mention any worship event. I'd like to know when it's talking in Acts 20, verse 7 about breaking of bread, which we showed from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, which says the bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. That's talking about the Lord's Supper, and then they had preaching. That's at least two worship events right there, the Lord's Supper and they had preaching. As James said, there's no worship event there, but there are at least two. He said, well, that this was probably Saturday night, because he said that he preached till midnight. Now, if this was Jewish time, reckoning in Jewish time, sundown to sundown, then it would have been Saturday night. But if we're going by Jewish time, and this was Saturday night, it still would have been the first day of the week. You see, on Jewish time, Saturday night is the first day of the week. You ought to know that better than me. On Saturday night at 6, or whenever the sun goes down, you start, you can go play ball, then the Sabbath is over. On Jewish time, Saturday night is the first day of the week. So whether or not it's a Saturday night or Sunday night, which it would be if it was Roman time, you're not clear if it's Roman time or Jewish time, it doesn't matter. It's still the first day of the week, not the Sabbath. And they had two worship events, the Lord's Supper, and they had preaching. And he says in Acts, oh, by the way, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, don't forget that, James, where he commanded them to have the collection on the first day of the week. Let everybody, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. He never said that about the Sabbath. But he said in Acts 2, verse 46, the breaking of bread was daily. He had mentioned verse 42 before. He got the wrong passage. That is true, but the breaking of bread does sometimes refer to a common meal. Sometimes it refers to a common meal. Sometimes the Lord's Supper. How do I know that, and this is the breaking of bread in Acts 2, verse 46, I know is a common meal because it goes on to say they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There's no meat in the Lord's Supper. But how do I know in Acts 20, verse 7, it's the Lord's Supper and not a common meal? Because this is done when the disciples came together. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, the Bible teaches that we're not to eat a common meal when the church has come together in the assembly. It says in verse 34, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. So Acts 3, verse 46 has to be a common meal daily. Acts 20, verse 7 has to be the Lord's Supper, a worship event which occurred, by the way, not on the Sabbath, but the first day of the week, in conjunction with preaching, which is another worship event. We, the churches of Christ, do what Acts 20, verse 7. They said they agreed with my passages on example. We follow that example. I don't think you guys, except the Adventist churches, they don't follow that. They don't come together the first day of the week to break bread, that is, to eat the Lord's Supper and have preaching. Don't do that at all. And then he mentioned Luke 6, put up 29, Mark, Luke 4, 16. And he was making the argument that Jesus worshiped on the Sabbath. And sure enough, Jesus did go into the Sabbath on the synagogue, going to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Yes, Jesus kept the Sabbath, Keith, just like any other faithful Jew. He lived under the Old Testament law. He was circumcised, Luke 2, 21. Are we to follow that example? Do we have to be circumcised because Jesus was? He was circumcised. He kept the leprosy law. Everybody turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 14. Remember when Jesus healed those people, ten men, and one came back? And what did he tell that man? Tell no man, Luke 5, 14, but go and show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded for a testimony in Thebes. Do you believe we have to follow that law? The ceremonial law that Jesus is referring to in Luke 5, 14? Well, Jesus kept it. According to your argument, James, if Jesus kept the Sabbath, we have to follow that example and keep the Sabbath. No, Jesus kept the Old Testament law because he lived under the Old Testament law, lived imperfectly. He kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Matthew 26. Did you do that? No. You see, we don't follow Jesus' example when he's keeping Old Testament law because he lived under the Old Testament law and we don't. Is the fact that Jesus kept these laws prove that they're still binding, James? If not, then the fact that Jesus kept the Sabbath doesn't prove that the Sabbath is still binding either. So you have to understand and agree with that argument, James. Raise it up. Jesus lived under the Old Testament law, Hebrews 9, 15 through 17. For this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, or the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
just like a will. I didn't get to inherit anything until my parents died. Just because I'm in the will until they die, there has to be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Who's the testator? Jesus. When did the New Testament come into force? After his death, according to this passage. So during his lifetime, they had to keep the Old Testament law, including Jesus. Old Testament law example won't prove New Testament practice. Put up number 33. He said, well, Paul kept the Sabbath on a regular basis, every Sabbath. There's no record of that. We have no record whatsoever of Paul ever keeping the Sabbath. Now notice chart number 33. He might make the argument that Paul preached on the Sabbath. Yes, Paul preached on the Sabbath. Many times in the synagogue, the unconverted Jews, non-Christians, Acts 13, 14, 17, verse 2, and Acts 18, 4. Yeah, they're Jews. They hadn't converted to Christ, so they'd still be keeping the Sabbath. They still had that false teaching. Just like they were being signed in circumcision, animal sacrifices, and everything else. And so they met on the Sabbath, these unconverted Jews, and so Paul went into the opportunity to go into them on the Sabbath, just like I'm going to do tomorrow night, I'm going to go to a Sabbath-keeping church and try to get them out of their Sabbath error. Some of the time, it was a doctrinal debate, 1717 and 1908, like what we're doing now. And always, it was trying to convert people to the truth. I also have preached on the Sabbath at Sabbath-keeping churches. Hadn't I, Mr. Downer? But just like Paul, it's not to celebrate the Sabbath with them, but it was to teach them out of their Sabbath and other errors. But when Paul met and worshiped with the Christians, when he met and worshiped with Christians, not unconverted Jews, it was on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. Let there be no mistake about that. Yes, Paul tried to convert people who were still binding the Sabbath. Let me ask you this question. Would you have let Paul convert you out of your Sabbath error? You know, if you lived back and Paul came to your church, you were a Jew, an unconverted Jew, and you were keeping the Sabbath, and Paul came there to preach to try to get you out of the Sabbath error, would you have let him convert you to Christianity and out of the Sabbath error? Question for you today. And then he said, put a 20 mark, if Jesus was going to change something, it would say that. Well, it does say that. Hebrews 7, verse 12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity to change also the law. James said, if Jesus was going to change something, it would say that. Hebrews 7, verse 12 says, there's been a change in the law. Now, don't forget, that's the law that Romans 7 says we are dead to, delivered from, and the law that says that's a not covet. So don't get up here and say Hebrews 7, verse 12 is talking about the ceremonial law. That's man-made distinction. He's talking about the law that says thou shalt not covet, and God said there's been a change in the law. Put it number 6, Mark. Remember Romans 7, 4 through 7? Here's the text. Now what does the text actually say? The text doesn't say the things that you said about the text, Jack, I see. The text says that we're dead to the law, and we're delivered from the law. That's what we're dead to and delivered from is the law itself. What law is that? The law that says thou shalt not covet. Now, Pat didn't make this up. That's what the Bible says. Now, you could change this up and add words in here, take words away and change it. But if you just take what the Bible says, it says we're dead to the law. Dead means to be liberated from the bond of anything, delivered from, to be severed from, separated from, discharged from, loose from. We're dead to and delivered from the law that says thou shalt not covet. And Hebrews 7 verse 12 says that law has been changed. And then James mentioned in Exodus 20, verse 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy implies that it was not new to them. No, not necessarily. For example, have you ever preached a wedding, James, and at the end of the ceremony said, now remember these vows and keep them until death? Have you ever said that? Well, you're not saying that the vows happened a long time ago. The vows just happened. You're telling me in the future, remember this. And that's what he was doing in Exodus 20, verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day. He's not saying remember something that occurred a long time ago. He said, in the future, I want you to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And then Keith made the point from Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8. He says, well, there it talks about not judging about the feast days and the meats and things like that. And he paralleled that with Colossians 2 about judging. Keith, that's right. Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 teach that the brethren were not to judge others based upon, like, eating pork or eating meat offered to idols, 1 Corinthians 8. And why could they not judge another brother based upon that? Because the Bible, the New Testament law, doesn't say it's right or wrong. It's just neutral. And that's exactly what Paul is saying about circumcision in Galatians 5, 1 through 4. Remember when he says, you that are trying to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace? So that's exactly what the Seventh-day Adventists are doing. They're trying to be justified by the law. And Galatians 5, verse 4 says, you are fallen from grace. You're trying to be justified by the law that says thou shalt not covet. And so Paul is saying the same thing in Colossians 2. Don't let, because Jesus blotted these ordinances to the cross, nailed them to the cross, took them out of the way, blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. He says, don't let any man judge you with respect to these things, because they're not binding anymore. It's neutral. You can either do them or not. It's not sin or not. He gave some examples. He gave daily, monthly, that's the new moon, the yearly, what y'all call the ceremonial Sabbath, when he said holidays, and then he said the Sabbath. And we've already proven that has to be referring to the weekly Sabbath. Now, Keith, you made the point that in your one of both of your speeches about handwriting of ordinances, that was the record of sin. You see how you can make the Bible say anything if you change it? He said that's talking about the handwriting of sin, the record of your sin. But the Bible says, and by the way, the word handwriting there, you know what it means in the Greek? That Greek word pretty much just means handwriting. That's what it means. And you know what it says? It doesn't leave it to say handwriting of sins or record of sins. It says handwriting of ordinances. He said record of sins, but it's saying a record of ordinances. Jesus didn't blot out. He did blot out the record of our sins when we're forgiven, but that's not what this verse is talking about. It's saying the record of ordinances, laws. And he gives some examples of those laws in verse 16 of the ordinances that were blotted out. Daily, monthly, yearly, and weekly Sabbath. James, the Bible says, we are a shadow of things to come. Whether you can understand it or not, please just believe it because God said it. And then he said, well, there's never a text that says the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. Well, Keith, what's the matter with Colossians 2? It says these handwriting of ordinances, not handwriting of sin, but handwriting of ordinances was nailed to the cross. And then Paul gives four examples, and the fourth example was the weekly Sabbath. You said, where is the explicit text that says the Sabbath has been done away? Colossians 2, 14 through 16. It mentions the weekly Sabbath specifically. It names it. Now, I've given a lot of arguments tonight. Some of them mention, talk about the Ten Commandments. Some of them talk about the law in general, which would include the Ten Commandments. But this one specifically mentions the weekly Sabbath, says that it's been blotted out, nailed to the cross, taken out of the way, therefore no man can judge you with respect to that, the weekly Sabbath. Now remember, it says Sabbath. I know you've been trained to think that's talking about, quote, the ceremonial Sabbath, but it can't be. We've been through all those passages that show the daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. All the ceremonial Sabbaths, like Passover, Pentecost, those days during those feasts that they couldn't work, are included in the word holy day. We've shown that and proven that. The Sabbath days at the end of verse 16 has to be the weekly. It matches up with those six verses I gave on that chart. It has been done away. That's an explicit text, Keith. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Keith talked about that and said that he agreed with it, but he doesn't really agree with what it actually said. Now I went through the whole context. I've already done that. Let me just show you specifically what it says. Now notice verse 7. It says that the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, was glorious. Now he's talking about something written and engraved in stone. Now it's not actually talking about the stones themselves. It's talking about what was written and engraved on the stones. Now who here knows what was written and engraved on the stones? You know, the thing that was literally written with the finger of God. You know, the thing that was written and engraved in stones and put inside the ark. What was written and engraved in stone? The Ten Commandments. Now it says in verse 7, they were glorious. The Ten Commandments, the thing written and engraved in stone. Not the stones themselves, the things written and engraved in stone, the Ten Commandments. Verse 11 then says, for if that which is done away was glorious. So what is that referring to? Well, if verse 7 says that the thing written and engraved in stone was glorious, and verse 11 says the thing that was done away was glorious, it ought to be easy, if you're willing to just accept what the Bible says, to understand that the thing written and engraved in stone was done away. The thing that was glorious was done away. Well, what was glorious in the context? The thing written and engraved in stone, the Ten Commandments. So, specifically, the Ten Commandments, written and engraved in stone, were done away according to this text. Put it in number 28. And then he mentioned Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Let me return the compliment, Keith. All those passages that you didn't know were plural from Sabbaths that I gave. And by the way, Exodus 20 verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, is plural. Did you know that? And Deuteronomy 5, where it tells us to keep the Sabbath holy, and the Septuagint is plural. I didn't know if you knew that. But You didn't know that, but you know, I didn't know it was a different Greek word in Matthew 5:17 for fulfill and Matthew 5:18 for fulfill. I didn't know that, so I want to return that compliment. Thank you. I learned something tonight. I appreciate that. I did not realize it was a different Greek word then. But tell me what both of those Greek words mean. In Matthew 5:17, the one that says, I came not to destroy but to fulfill, what does that Greek word mean? It means to fulfill, doesn't it? In verse 18, it says, till all be fulfilled, different Greek word. You know what it means? Fulfilled. So let's look at this passage. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Fulfill the law. Now, did he do that or not? I believe you would agree with me that he did. He said he came to do it. I believe he was successful. Then verse 18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle, so in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. What should happen when all is fulfilled? The law will pass. That's what that verse implies. Till heaven and earth pass means the same as in Luke 16:17, the parallel passage, which is it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to pass. So, Jesus is saying, you know, heaven and earth would pass before I would let the law pass, before it's fulfilled. In other words, it's not going to pass till it's fulfilled. But what did Jesus do in the very verse before? He said, I came to fulfill it. Notice it's in Matthew 5:17 that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Did he fulfill it or not? Yes, he did fulfill the law when he completed his earthly mission. John 19:30, he said it's finished. Luke 24:44 said Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. So verse 18 teaches that the law did pass when Jesus fulfilled it. Do you see that? Verse 17 says Jesus came to fulfill the law. Verse 18 said it would not pass till it was fulfilled. Well, it was not until 3 years later when he finished fulfilling it. And then it passed, according to that verse. Let me give you an illustration. Should I have an appointment with the dentist and announce to the receptionist, I have come not to destroy my appointment, but to fulfill it. Destroying it would mean to cancel it. I would complete all that the appointment called for. I would have fulfilled the appointment and not destroyed it. Would the appointment still be enforced? No, it was fulfilled. So it was with Christ. When he fulfilled the law, it passed. He didn't destroy it. He fulfilled it. And verse 18 said, when it's not going to pass, then it is fulfilled. Well, he did fulfill it. And so it passed. The law, including the Sabbath, has passed. Put up 13. How much? Three minutes. We've already been through this. This law here is the law that we're dead to, delivered from. It's the law that says, thou shalt not covet. Galatians 5:4, next chart mark, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. You try to be justified by the law that says, thou shalt not covet. Next chart mark, you are fallen from grace. 14. Notice this is the same law, the one we're dead to and delivered from, the one that says, thou shalt not covet. It says, for he is our peace, Ephesians 2:14-16, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinance. What did Jesus do? He abolished the law. What law? The law that says, thou shalt not covet. The law that we're dead to and delivered from, the Bible says that he abolished it. That's another explicit text. See, and then three. I want you to notice something from the Old Testament. The Sabbath says in Exodus 31, James made reference to it, wherefore the children of Israel, to keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, throughout their generation, is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Notice this phrase, throughout your generation. What does that mean? I believe we can show it means throughout the Jewish dispensation, their generation. Circumcision, Genesis 17:12. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. Passover, Exodus 12. And this day shall be for a memorial. You shall keep the feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep the feast by an ordinance forever. Notice in all these they say they're going to keep these things forever throughout their generations. But in every case, the Septuagint will agree that it ended at the end of the Jewish dispensation, except the Sabbath. Offerings by fire, Leviticus 6:18. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. When did that end? At the end of the Jewish dispensation. Wave offering, Leviticus 23. There should be no servile work therein. It should be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. How long was that to last? To the end of the Jewish dispensation. Day of Atonement. It'll be a statute forever throughout your generation. Feast of Booths. It'll be a statute forever in your generation. Wax and oil. Statute forever in your generation. The Levite service. Mark. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. It should be a statute forever throughout your generation that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. All of these, my opponent agrees, throughout the generations means ending with the Jewish dispensation in every case except one. I wonder why. You know, one never reads, don't murder throughout the generation. Don't commit adultery throughout the generation. The Sabbath is just for the Jewish generation when you compare it to all these passages.
And so in conclusion, Romans 7, 4 through 7 says we're dead to and delivered from the law that says thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments, we're dead to and delivered from it. Colossians chapter 2 says that Jesus blotted out these ordinances, nailed them to the cross, took them out of the way. One of the examples of the ordinances he gives is the weekly Sabbath. It is plain. It is just a matter of whether or not you will accept. Please accept what the Bible plainly says, that we're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under circumcision. We're not under the animal sacrifices. We're not under the Sabbath. We're under the New Testament law. Thank you very much for your time.